It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Welcome into another edition of the Winning Plays Podcast. My name is Brian Robb. Very, very pleased to be joined today by the one and only Rich Levine, joining us from the West Coast with this is the originator here, and we always are happy to get you back on here, and it's been a minute, Rich. I mean, we talked post Porzingis trade, but have not talked since all the free agency coming and goings here in the last couple of months. But things have been quiet now. Jalen is signed, Grant is gone, but pretty much no other. It's almost an eerily quiet summer for the Celtics compared to the last couple of years here.
Yeah, I guess so. And did you mean to leave out that Marcus is gone, or you mean we talked about it the last time?
I did not mean to.
I don't know.
That was unintentional. Yeah, I say we covered that in the last one, but obviously that is the main storyline of the summer. It was a very busy June for the Celtics, less so in July and August, and hopefully there'll be no big kerfuffle or a head coach getting suspended 2 days before the season starts this time around.
Well, I mean, when you're alone, like major acquisition is like a 7-footer, like kind of getting up there, and you're like, okay, as long as he doesn't like hurt his feet, we'll be all right. And then he comes down with the one like most nagging foot injury that someone of his size can come down with. That seems to be, but let's just get that out of the way. Right now, the assumption is he's going to be ready.
Brad even said day one of training camp, ready to go. He said that last week in an interview. And I don't know, Rich, like, this is, I guess, I'll throw it to you. Two ways to look at the situation with him. One, with him sitting out the World Cup, do you see it as A, they just needed an excuse for him not to play in this World Cup, and this was an easy thing to point to where it's like, yep, everyone has some type of plantar fasciitis, and this way he can go out, said he tried, but he's not going to do it. And then, while resting up for the season, or is it column B, what you just referenced, be like, yeah, this is a big guy who's been injury prone over his entire career, and this is the last thing you want to see for a 7-footer dealing with as he, approaches age 30.
Yeah. I mean, my impression was that he had really wanted to play. I mean, obviously he really wanted to play
in
FIBA. I think he had said this was literally like one of the biggest games in the history of Latvian basketball. And he thought it was up to him to be there and represent his country. I think we'll find out when training camp starts, right? If it's anything other than what Brad Stevens said, if there's like, oh no, we're going to hold him out a couple more weeks. And then that this is, then there's more than meets the eye, and I would definitely be concerned. But maybe we'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he just wanted to, and hey, that's cool. If he wants to prioritize the Celtics and his $60 million contract and further legitimizing his NBA career, let's do it. But if he actually is suffering from plantar fasciitis to where he could not have played or really would have had to play through the pain or get into a situation where playing would have made it worse because, it's a pretty long season.
It is. And the and I don't know. It's just like when you factor that in with like the Robert Williams and Al Horford part of the equation here, and you look at the rest of the bench right now from a big situation, and it can get pretty thin pretty quick if two of those guys go down. And I mean, they're not done tinkering here, I think, but that's just something I wonder how quickly they'll, I mean, we'll find out again, like you said, at training camp, if and when that needs to be addressed further on the depth front.
And then your biggest strength, I mean, outside of like the two top 10 players on your team, but like you had three like very good point guards / guards, if you just want to call them that, right? One's gone. Marcus is gone. Brogdon is in worse shape than he was coming into last year, we'll imagine. Not like fit, like, yes, physical. I'm not talking about endurance. I'm talking about like whatever might be going on with his body, whatever might be going on with his head after being traded and then saying, oh, actually, just kidding. You know, we want you back. And then, you know, Derek White, who was amazing last year, but like, again, it's much easier to be the Derek White that he was last year when you have Marcus Smart and Malcolm Brogdon out there. And if he's the guy that's like, all right, now you're all 3-1, go do your thing. Like, that'll catch up to you pretty quickly too. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Before we move to the odds here, any quick thoughts on Mykhailiuk as the 14th? I mean, I know he's played for six teams in 6 years. Is it?
Yeah.
Including the Lakers out there.
Right.
Right. It's like, I don't know what to make of it.
It's like when the Celtics got Moses Brown for 2 seconds last summer. Like, yeah. You know, he had that one good game against the Celtics. No, there's a reason that he's on every team for like 2 weeks and then moves on, you know? But I don't know. I like the highlight reel that made its way around Twitter was pretty awesome. Like, that got me a bit hyped. Like, he's definitely got skills. You'd assume so. Pretty cool that he's from the Ukraine. I think, right. I don't know. I think, is Alex Len still in the NBA?
Yes. I think he's still with the Kings. So okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think they did some cool stuff as far as raising recognition for Ukraine during this wartime stuff in the last couple of years. But yeah, we'll see if, you know, he can bottle up the 2 months of garbage time, you know, tanking play with the Hornets that he did so well at the end of last year and do it next to some better guys here. But that's stuff he'll have to earn a spot. A lot of these guys are going to have to learn a spot in training camp, and we'll see how those dominoes fall in the next few weeks. But in the meantime, we want to take a step back, kind of look at some big picture questions, big picture standings for this team with both players and as a team as all, with looking at the odds here on FanDuel heading into the season here, Rich. And I'll leave it to you. Where do we want to start here? What intrigues you most? There's obviously a bunch of different directions we can go in here. What do you want to start with?
Well, did you happen to read the Jeff Goodman, Jason Tatum interview that
I did
came out this morning?
Yes, on Jeff Goodman 101 with him on, I believe, The Messenger, which I think is Jeff Goodman's new site here.
Oh, is that what I'd never heard of The Messenger?
Yeah, so I think
this will be a free plug for,
right?
The Messenger. what is that?
I don't know. It seems to be a new, like, across the board news sports site. I'd heard rumblings about it, like, you know, from people in the industry, but I have not seen much about it. But it's clearly up now. It seems to be fully functional, and Jeff Goodman appears to be one of the basketball writers for it. So
Keep getting those Tatum exclusives. I think.
I mean, listen,
people will know The Messenger.
But yeah, he did talk about an award in there. Is that something that caught your eye there?
Well, kind of. Yeah, he said he wanted to be an all defense, right?
Right.
Which I thought was interesting because I know he's not listed. I know there's, you know, FanDuel. How many? What do they have? About, they have like a handful of players up on for their season awards. Like NBA Defensive Player of the Year is
right.
You know, six. I wouldn't imagine Jason Tatum would be a top six candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. But I more want to talk about MVP because it seems like his focus might be on defense. This is part of the bigger picture of like further maturation, I think. I think that Jason Tatum will have an MVP at some point in his career. And I don't know. It's set plus, what is he, plus 800 on FanDuel. So 8-1. He's fifth, so Joker is plus 430, Giannis plus 500, Luka plus 650, Embiid plus 700. Like, as long as Kyrie is in Dallas, Luka's not winning the MVP. I'm going to say that.
Yep.
Joel Embiid will have to be even better than he was last year, significantly better, I think, to, like, break the narrative of, like, you know, the guys who voted for him last year. They're not going to want to vote for him again. So they take those two out. Take Luka out, take Embiid out. You got Joker, you got Freak. I mean, I don't know. I think that's your top three. I Tatum is not a bad bet at 8-1. I guess that's where I'll start.
Yeah, it's. I agree with you on your assessment, especially of Luka and Embiid. The Jokic, I think the biggest challenge now, and I guess with Jokic, it's like, do the voters get the fatigue factor with him? But there's just no other players that's just such a numbers machine like he is. And when the results come with that, when the Nuggets are pretty well set up, I think, to be a, you know, formidable foe again in the West this year, like, I think it's going to be tough for Tatum to get close to that. So, like, I'm curious, like, how does Tatum bridge that gap when he knows, like, numbers-wise he can't do it? Is it, like you said, is it defensively? Does he have to become someone who is, like, all right, he also is worthy of all defensive accolades here, and that shows you, okay, like, yeah, I'm not putting up triple-doubles every night, but the Celtics are winning, and I'm helping fill the gap for Marcus's absence with, you know, by stepping up more defensively now. Is it, like, do you feel like that's, like, the equation here for him?
There's that. There's, I think, okay, you said the Celtics being good. That's, I think,
right. That's a natural part of the MVP equation, I think.
But like, we're talking number one seed, top two, right, if you're going to bridge that gap. I think another, not that you would consider Joker one of the guys, like a load management guy, but I think Durant, Tatum going to play 70 as long as he's healthy. Obviously, if he's not healthy, he's not winning MVP, but like, he's going to play 70 plus games, you imagine? If there's a candidate, if you go Joker, Giannis, Luka, Embiid, Tatum, who's most likely to play all 82 if there's going to be one?
Right.
There's... Maybe Joker, maybe, but most likely Tatum, I would say.
And even Giannis now, I feel like, especially coming off of this knee surgery this offseason, like, they're probably going to be extra careful of him in Milwaukee, I would think, from a load management standpoint. And like, opening the door for Tatum to have a pretty big, you know, game's edge on both of these guys.
Yeah, you got Joker, you got his title, Giannis got his title, maybe, you know, coming off of like the long season. If there's, and we saw it with the Celtics last year, and they didn't even win the title, they just made it to the finals, where you can see, like, you know, it's hard to stay focused for that entire year again, like leading back to the finals. So maybe Joker, maybe it's going to take Jokic a little bit of time to get in the shape, potentially. Not that that's ever really his priority. But I think that Tatum's got the want. He doesn't have it yet. He still has a lot. He has more to prove than Jokic and Giannis. It might be his time. I don't know. I think it's a pretty decent bet. Looking down, by the way, you can click, there's a more button where you can see, show more.
Mm-hmm.
My big bet for MVP at 33-1, I think, is Anthony Edwards. If you're ever going to take a stab at a dark horse.
I mean, have you been watching the World Cup at all? Have you seen any of this?
I've seen enough box scores to see that he seems to he seems to be taking it pretty seriously. And he just seems like it's going to happen with him too. For 33-1, I think there's a decent. I think that's worth a try.
It's funny now, like how quickly, as just a sidebar for it, with him and that Minnesota team of like, are they just going to have to? How quickly they're going to pivot off of Towns or Gobert just to like clear the way more for Edwards, as far as whether it's either like clearing the lane or just clearing the opportunity. I guess Gobert's not really stealing many shots from him as is, but clearly this is the guy who should be taking the keys to the car there. And if there's an impediment to it, I wonder if like that it becomes a part of this season if they get off to a slow start again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any taking anything away from him at this point. But yeah, we'll see. I think they got a pretty smart coach, right? It's tough. I mean, the West is tough. If they were in the East, maybe it would be a little bit easier. My other sort of dark horse MVP, 17-1 right now on FanDuel, is Devin Booker.
Mm.
I think if the Suns are as good as they potentially will be, KD will obviously be awesome, but I don't know. Booker's younger, more exciting for the voters, and is just absolutely ridiculous. So 17-1. And if I was doing a top three, right? So 33-1 for Edwards, 17-1 for Booker, and let's go Jason Tatum at 8-1.
Jason Tatum for 8-1.
Yeah.
All right. We're marking that down. Mark that tape here. We'll have a We'll do at least a midseason check-in with Fridge on the MVP odds specifically to this, but I like the throwing it around on some names that may not be on the radar of most voters right now, but we'll certainly have the teams that can get them in the contention. All right, let's take a break to hear from our sponsor, FanDuel. Get ready for the NFL season with incredible offers from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. Plus, all customers who bet $5 will get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Now is the best time to join FanDuel. The app is easy to use, adds to player props and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. FanDuel, the official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Mass. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, MA.org, or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. NFL Sunday ticket offer ends 9/18/23. No refunds. Terms and embargoes apply. $100 off NFL Sunday ticket, not YouTube TV. YouTube TV base plan required to watch YouTube TV. Redemption requires a Google account and current form of payment. Commercial use excluded. Subscription renews. Cancel anytime. And now back to the show.
For the record, Jaylen Brown, 120-1.
Jeez. Right, James Harden ahead of Jaylen Brown right now in MVP odds. We'll put that. You don't would not expect to see that right now. But
Kyrie Irving
also ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Good MVP. I want to bring up six man of the year odds because Malcolm Brogdon right now, currently your favorite to repeat as six man of the year. Again, the odds are still pretty long, +850. Norm Powell, Emmanuel Quickly, right behind him, Malik Monk, Buddy Hield, Chris Paul, who says I'm coming off the bench. The voters do. You're +1500 to be sixth man of the year. We talked about Malcolm Brogdon briefly here. From an on-court standpoint, Rich, like if they bring him back here, is he obviously he's coming off the bench? Do you worry about him, you know, buying in concept wise, like to that six man, like sacrificing what you will to kind of do what he did last year as much this year in the wake of all that's happened this offseason? Does that worry you at all? Or do you think is it more any concerns of just like, where is he going to be able to hold up physically after, you know, we know that that's been a storyline throughout his career?
Yeah, I think both. You know, you talk about a player that's kind of moved around a little bit in his career, you're like, why are they getting rid of Malcolm Brogdon? You know, like, has a tendency to move around. I think it's crazy that he's, I mean, these are crazy odds. Who knows? Like, it's September 7th.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the sixth man of the award, but I would, there's no circumstances under which I would put money on Malcolm Brogdon winning the sixth man of the year award this year. I just, for all the reasons you mentioned, whether or not he'll even still be here, he makes every sacrifice you would expect or want from a sixth man last year, and then they fake trade him for like 24 hours and, you know, put his life in the blender and then say, oh no, just kidding, why don't you come back and do it all again, be the consummate teammate. Like, that's tough. And so who's the fifth starter?
We don't know. I mean, so you have White, Brown, Tatum, and then pick Porzingis, I assume, and then Al or Rob, assuming you're starting double big, which,
right? So maybe Jaylen's your
Jaylen's technically your two. Yeah, Jaylen's your guard. I know he was voted as a guard last year. They had that set up pretty much for a good chunk of last year when they started big over small. But yeah, it's, I mean, Brogdon's gonna play. I'm curious, like the Pritchard X factor, if he's obviously gonna play a lot, like is, you know, playing those guys together was up and down at points last year, whether they will can, you know, collaborate better, or whether they'll look at Brogdon and be like, okay, let's, how can we fill a need at, you know, get a closing five, like, if you will, like a better guy to close. Like, cause I think the trouble is, like, I don't think Brogdon was a great fit for the closing lineup last year with, in terms of like a size or just like a fit wise. And so maybe you're better off to take some of these picks in him and find that guy at the trade deadline or whatever. I guess time is going to tell what that group looks like to start this year. Then they'll go from there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Quickly's award to lose this year. Like, I think he probably should have won it last year, based on how he finished the year, at least. Yeah. I think Malik Monk at 10-1 is, I could get on that. And then Chris Paul, that actually might be, if I were to bet on this award, Chris Paul at 15-1 seems like a good value bet. It's going to have the narrative. The Warriors are going to be good. A lot of national TV games. I mean, the only question is, like, does Steph stay healthy?
Right.
And if he doesn't, does that force Chris Paul, obviously, into the starting lineup too much? But yeah, a lot of good candidates. Christian Wood, 26-1. If he's going to come off the bench for the Lakers, that could be interesting. Josh Hart, I guess, you know, he's on the same team as Quickly, so maybe not. But my top three for the sixth man is Quickly, Malik Monk, and Chris Paul.
Like,
put it on the board.
Put it on the board. Where do you want to go next?
So this is one that we could have done second, but so I didn't know. Apparently, this award was created last year, the NBA Clutch Player Award.
Yes.
So it's the player, what, that is voted on?
I think the players vote on this, maybe?
I just had it up here. Let me go check.
It is very new.
And it's for the player that helps his team most in the clutch. Right? De'Aaron Fox won last year. Which seems fair. Like, that dude was pretty nasty in the fourth quarter. And
that's about crunch, buzzer beaters.
Crunch time in general. Yeah, exactly. So it's that sort of award where if you, like, happen to get a couple chances to hit a buzzer beater and hit one or two and get that narrative, like, you can probably win that award pretty easily. Like, it seems hard to measure who should really deserve this award. The trophy, who had a reputation of being clutch. This is great podcasting. Hold on one second. The players are voted on by media panel based on nominations from the coaches.
Okay.
So coaches nominate the players and then the media votes on the players. So to me, I mean, right now the favorite is Shai, SGA at 10-1. Jason Tatum, 19-1. He's going to have plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, right? It's got to be... That's honestly one of the, I mean, you don't single out Tatum for it, but this team for the last two or three years, fourth quarters have generally not been their shining moments in a lot of these spots. But you're right, like 19-1, like there's no doubt that that's the guy who's going to have the ball in his hands throughout these moments for 20, 30 plus games through in crunch time moments throughout the regular season. So
yeah, go for so Tatum on that train. Such a weird award. Maybe we should stop talking about it. But I just thought it was interesting that 19-1 for a guy who's like, you know, 8-1 to win the MVP and is going to have a lot of opportunities. And
who are the other favorites there? Who else is like, is it all guards?
SGA, Dame is 12-1. Luka, 14-1. Jokic and De'Aaron Fox and Joel Embiid are all 14-1. And then Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, and Jason Tatum, 19-1 as well.
I thought, guys, the ball is going to be in their hands at the end of the game anyway.
Yeah.
And, no,
it's just very strange.
Yeah, I wonder how that's...
It's almost like it's like a young MVP award, right? Like, you're not good enough to be considered the MVP, but maybe, you know, like De'Aaron Fox, like what...
He was right, what do we do with him?
Yeah, just give him the clutch award.
Give him the clutch award. This is an award that's very fascinating to me. For next year, coach of the year. Mm. And for all the grief that Joe Mazzulla took locally last year, I don't think he really took much of it nationally. He is fourth in coach of the year odds, in front of a couple of new names. Frank Vogel and Adrian Griffin are coming up behind him. And then I'm going to let you guess. Do you want to guess? I don't know if you have these in front of you. Do you want to guess who's in the top three odds for coaches of the year?
Yes. The coach who I'm not going to try to pronounce his name.
OKC coach.
What's that?
OKC coach, Ed.
Yeah. I, So hold on, I do have it right here. Spoelstra and Jason Kidd. That is just absurd. I don't know. So Jason Kidd's 12-1, which is crazy. Vogel at 14-1 feels like a solid bet, and Mazzulla too, man. Because listen, like the East is once again the lesser of the two conferences. If the Celtics win close to 60 games, because you talk about like all the negative attention that Joe got last year, like that's narrative. You know what I mean? Like the voters are going to love that. Like if he can turn it around after, you know, his back against the wall and almost getting fired in the playoffs last year, still has a, you know, certainly two of the top 10 players in the Eastern Conference. I don't know. He seems like maybe a decent bet. I think Mazzulla and Frank Vogel. Where's Adrian Griffin? Is he the
Bulls? He was fifth. Yeah, he's right behind Vogel and Mazzulla, like plus 1600.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become? Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
So, I guess my question to you, though, about Joe, like, with this revamped roster, Marcus and Grant out the door, two guys that there were reportedly some, you know, not clashes with, but just obviously Grant wasn't pleased with his playing time. And we all heard Marcus's comments over the course of the playoffs where he was pretty much like, yeah, I told Joe to make these changes. And during that Philly series, does this, all this stuff would seem to empower him even more here. What do you expect, if anything, in terms of changes of whether it's on in court, in game stuff, you know, behind the scenes stuff with him for next year? What are you actually keeping an eye on with him, you know, with this revamped group?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, but like on one hand, it's like, yeah, those moves could maybe empower him a little bit. But then at the same time, we're going to hire like 15 assistant coaches who are like ready to coach in the NBA tomorrow.
That's true.
If we need them to. I mean, I hope maybe it could be more collaborative, because that was what it felt to me like down the stretch last year, is like Joe was like kind of on an island. You know, Stoudemire had left. It was like he was like 34 years old, and like, was there anyone on the bench that was older than him? Like, was there anyone that was even 40 years old as an assistant coach on that bench? I mean, that is not putting him in a position to succeed.
And all those guys are out. They already knew they were like out the door. Probably at the end.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Right. Exactly. So I mean, like, maybe that should be talked about a little bit more. But also, yeah, that he's going to have a lot more support. That the people, you know, Cassell and Lee, like the people that are going to be in the players' ears are you know, part of the big picture, you would hope, right? Like it's much more hopefully like a team approach and a team dynamic, and like obviously like Joe's the one that's going to be standing up there and talking to the press, but like hopefully there will be less on him that will, you know, just. Because what does he need to improve on? Like he need to improve on timeouts,
like end of game management. Yeah, like end of game management, like those situations, like situational stuff. He butchered a couple big ones, and then the lineup stuff as well. But I think a lot of that stuff has been taken care of for him with, you know, them paving the way to be like, all right, you're not gonna have to deal with the ramifications of benching Marcus for Derek White. Like you can, that's just gonna be obvious now.
Yeah, we're not, you know, we won't have to make as many decisions when we deplete the depth of this team. When we take one of the deepest teams in the East and like put it all in plantar fasciitis. So yeah, I mean, I think it'd be more like there'll be fewer decisions to make, but I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. But I think that like if the Jays just decide to win the Eastern Conference, you know what I mean? If we're like, we're not fucking around, like they stay healthy. They come to play every single night, like and the Celtics are, like we said, a first or second seed. I think that 14-1 will shrink pretty quickly. While Jason Kidd will probably be, you know, 35-1 by then. But yeah, Mazzulla, Vogel. Then if there's like a real dark horse, maybe Chris Finch at 19-1 in Minnesota. Ooh. We just talked about.
Yeah.
Quinn Snyder in Utah, 23-1, I think is pretty solid. Oh no, wait.
Where are you meaning? Yeah.
Atlanta. Right.
Will but Hardy. That is another one. Like, he could just revamping. They actually were playing pretty decent in the playoffs against Celtics. And I don't know whether it's the Celtics from the finance series, but that's like a year. If he gets that offense, like, playing the way they should be, like, they could, it wouldn't surprise me to see them be like a top four seed in the East next year. If everything.
Yeah. There's a luck. Yeah. We'll see what happens with Trey. But yeah, Will Hardy at 29-1, like, that's kind of enticing as well. And then anytime he's like Steve Kerr, 46-1, you know, like.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking, that low for him. But I guess that's, you know, he gets, when you have the same old team with the same old success, then it's hard to get that narrative like you're talking about, though, where guys like Mazzulla or Finch or Vogel, even obviously starting fresh. If he turns the Suns into champions, then that's an easy choice, or leads them to a one seed in the regular season, which is what this award is based on.
But by the way, Adrian Griffin is the coach of the Bucks. I said the Bulls.
Yes.
Former Bulls. I just wanted to clear it up. Former Celtic. I love that guy on the Celtics. Was it like, this will be one of those situations. Like, how many games do you think Adrian Griffin played for the Celtics, like, in his career? In my mind, like, it might have just been one season if it was even that.
I was going to guess two, but you're right. Like, it could easily be one. And I just remember, like, he's like, you know, the defensive gritty guy.
Just so over under 70 games as a Celtic.
Yeah, I'll take over. Griffin. I'll take
the under. Oh, wow. Yeah. He played 116.
Oh, wow. All right. So two seasons?
Yeah. Season and a half. Wow. Okay. How is he only 49 years old?
He started his career with the Celtics, too. I would not have guessed that.
Very interesting.
47 starts in his rookie year.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, he was great. His son plays a lot like him.
Yeah.
The same way with, like, Brunson. Like, obviously, Brunson's much better than his dad, but, like, the style of play is very similar. Okay, what's next?
So, do we want to wrap up here with win total? Over-under?
Yes.
Or do we want to do title odds?
Let's do win total.
All right. Let me pull them up here. So, this is a situation where I think the Celtics and the whole world, you know, they clearly beat themselves out of the gate last year. And now I'm trying to, here we go. Let me pull this up. Okay, so the number here is 54.5 wins. And it's even odds, over under. I believe this is probably, if not the highest in the NBA, like, right there. Maybe Denver might have higher. I'll look them up real quick, but this is as good as it gets. Yeah, Denver's not even there. Denver's at 53.5. So 54.5 would be, what, two wins less than last year?
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's part of me is like, wow, they left a lot of wins out there last year after their hot start, and maybe they clean that up. But the other half is like, oh, you got a lot of injury health question marks, and you have on-court chemistry question marks that are going to have to be answered pretty quickly. And there might be some growing pains early on in the year on that front, where there didn't seem to be many last year. So which way do you leave in this direction?
So how many times in their career have the Jays won more than 54 games in a season?
I'm going to guess three.
Well, if we go by win percentage, they probably would have done it a third year in the COVID shortened season.
Right.
They were on track to do it. But yeah, other than that, they won 55 in Tatum's rookie year with Kyrie,
mm-hmm.
And 57 last year. And like I said, the win percentage was good enough to do it in 20. But yeah, so three times. So is this going to be one of the three winningest seasons of the Jays era?
I want to say, like, if Tatum, if we think feel so good about Tatum being MVP, I want to say yes, like, or at least having a chance at that. Like, I feel like those are going to go hand in hand.
Sure, and that's why it's like 8-1, right? Maybe
right.
It's like not. It's a little bit of a stretch, but man. So we're assuming in this case that both Jays are having to stay healthy.
Yeah, that has to be. I mean, Jalen, I think, is the bigger question mark always in that front. He always seems to have something that gets nicked up for 20 games kind of spread out over the course of the year. But I guess the question is, what is the front court? Even if those guys are both healthy, if the front court is in shambles for half the year, then that becomes a pretty high bar to ask for, 54 and a half.
Right. That's like one of the, you get the 54 and a half just to like go out in the first round of the playoffs, just because everyone's fucking running on fumes. Yes. I don't know. I have a hard time. I have a hard time feeling the over. That's sad to say, but I don't know. It's certainly possible. Like I think their best case scenario might be a little bit better than last year's, but like, we know the road to get there is going to be treacherous. It always is. And they're like less equipped to deal with it, like to get there. And then even in the playoffs, like, I don't know, like Grant, like the comeback against Miami, like Grant was a huge part of that. Obviously Marcus was a pretty big part of that as well. So yeah, I'm going under.
I like it when you phrase it like that. And I'm like, I do think that especially this year is going to be there's probably going to be growing pains early on, and they didn't have that last year. And I think that will, but when you factor that with the injuries, I think you just convinced me. I think I'm going to go under two here, because that's just like, to have all those go right and knowing that they will be all, this team is building for April and May more so this year than ever. Whereas, you know, and whether if it takes a few more losses during the regular season to get there, right, like, so be it.
Right. They're more likely to be like, you know, like late February, like mid March, be like, oh fuck it, like we're in the playoffs, like let's scale back a little bit and get ourselves right. So like, that's our only chance now, is to be healthy when we get there. So maybe we'll take a few more losses down the stretch. 1 minute left in this. I think
it's buzzer. Yeah. So we did it. We did it all, Rich. It is a pleasure. It's great to see your face.
Oh, and you too, man.
We'll do this again as we get to the season, and we'll be checking on these odds over the course of the year at FanDuel, and we'll be back with you guys next week as we, 1 week out, I mean 1 month out, excuse me, sneaking up on us real quick here.
You can officially say next month the Celtics will play a real game. Will Kristaps be on the court for the opening night, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Two more nights, the back-to-back on Friday, we'll see.
And then 6 weeks off.
It's 6 weeks off. All right. Stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for Rich. Thanks again. We'll talk to you guys next week.